96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I am Bramante Bryant. Well, locally, there have been issues regarding child abuse cases. We know that it is prevalent not only in the United States, but across the nation. It is an issue that needs to be addressed daily, hourly. Tonight, we will take a closer look at how parents and educators can help to protect children. Our guest tonight will go into details about the importance of National Child Abuse Prevention Month and events that are going on here in the DMV. It is an important conversation we want you to be part of. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight to help foster this conversation is Michelle Booth Cole. She's the Executive Director of Safe Shores, the D.C. Children's Advocacy Center, and Dr. Satai Ra Streeter, a psychologist and executive director of Ascension's Psychological Services. We thank you both for being with us. Again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have some questions for these experts tonight or you have some comments to offer to further along the conversation, we will welcome those. Michelle Booth Cole, executive director of Safe Shores, the D.C. Children's Advocacy Center. I mentioned it is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. How do we define child abuse?
Great question. Or how should we? Sure. Thank you. And thank you for, one, lifting up this topic. Thank you for having us here this evening. We generally look at child abuse as the maltreatment of a child that could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be sexual, but it's treating that child in a way that's going to do harm to that child. That's a very basic way of looking at it.
Dr. Satai Ra Streeter, does everyone know, do they have in their head what child abuse is, or do we have different definitions, even though Michelle has given us sort of a very basic and easy to digest definition? I would think some people think what they do is not abuse, and others may look at that and say, in 2018, that's abuse.
Right. So I believe that sexual abuse is definitely we're clearer about what's inappropriate touch and how children are molested. But I don't think sometimes we are as clear as we need to be about the physical impact and the verbal impact of abuse and how that manifests in different homes and in different relationships and different family relationships.
Why is that? Why do you think we're not always sure? What causes that confusion as you would sort of diagnose from your professional standpoint?
I would say one thing that happens is the normalization of what we do to our children in terms of whether it's, you know, screaming at them or yelling at them or saying things to put them in line, quote unquote, are the things that have been passed down through generations. So that is something that happens and it happens often. And then I think another block is the trauma that a lot of us have gone through ourselves. So when we're doing something to our child, it may be what has been done to us and what our grandmothers did to our mother. So it's just things that we're passing down. So it's normalized. So we don't even recognize we're being abusive and the impact that it ultimately is having on our children.
Michelle Booth Cole, so then how do we break that chain? You know, as Dr. Streeter says, you know, we kind of do with what we know. And even if we feel bad about it afterwards, sometimes it's probably tough to stop it because it happens again. So how do you do that? How do you break that? Do you have to go see Dr. Streeter and chat with her? What are the avenues?
Well, first, I always recommend people go talk to excellent therapists because we are all in need of mental health support. So whether or not that's the issue, she's brilliant, and we all need that kind of support. In terms of breaking the chain, I think part of what we have to do is acknowledge, again, what it is. So it's the non-accidental injury of a child. It's kicking a child, striking a child, burning, biting, choking, throwing. All these are whipping. Right. And that is a very loaded term in the African-American community because there's a lot of history to it. But the bottom line is it's any kind of physical assault or injury that you do to that child. And it really isn't necessary. And I think that's the big revelation that has to come, that we can teach children, we can discipline, we can hold them accountable without physical injury.
Well, that was my next question. Is it ever acceptable to physically strike a child?
And I would say no. I would say, you know, we use fancy words like spanking and whooping, but at the end of the day, we have a person who is sometimes three or four times a person's, you know, a child's weight, this hitting them. And we teach children that hitting is not okay. So why is it okay for grown people to hit little people?
What if someone said to you, Dr. Streeter, I have this wild child and they're physical with me, so therefore I feel like I have to be physical with them. What resources, what recourse do they have?
Right. So in terms of resources, there's a lot of community resources in D.C. in terms of parenting classes and learning about effective discipline. We are having a conference this Saturday coming up on the 28th at D.C. Prep. Is being presented by the Nation's Capital's Mothers Group. And in that conference, we are giving resources and tools to fill parents' toolkits because it's a hard job. It's extremely hard to be a parent. But we want parents to know that, you know, if we really, truly act like a village, we can get through this child-rearing thing together.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Not only are we talking about child abuse prevention, but we're talking about healthy parenting, things that you can do to be the best parent you can be for your child. Michelle, you wanted to mention something?
Well, you mentioned the phrase of parents saying, I have a wild child,
mm-hmm.
right? So to me, that's all the more reason the adult shouldn't be wild, right? I mean, it really is a matter, and it's a challenge. I will say this, I know it's not easy. I have three myself, they're older now,
mm-hmm.
but there are definitely moments when you're just like, really? Did you just say that? Did you just do that? And what it means as a parent is you really have to be mindful, right? You have to exercise self-control. You're the adult in the relationship. And so not only physically in size is there this difference, but ideally there's a huge difference in mental and emotional capacity that you have as an adult. And even when you haven't been reared in a way that is conducive to good parenting, maybe that's an opportunity to look and say, you know what? I don't want to do what was done to me. I want to break this cycle. I want to do something differently with my child that's loving, that's caring, that's nurturing, and that teaches them how they should and shouldn't behave.
But Dr. Streeter, they need to have the tools to be able to do that, right? To sort of figure out, because some, I would think, parents may not know what to do differently to our points that you both have made, that if this is the cycle they've been in and they don't know how to change, do they then come to Safe Shores to sort of get help? Do they come to Dr. Streeter to get help? Where do you go? What do you do? Do you talk to other folks who are having good parenting habits?
Right. I think exactly that. To use the agencies in the area, both of our agencies are in D.C., and we can offer referrals and resources. And in addition, I feel like, just as I said earlier about the village, you have to have a network of parents to connect with and to run things by, and parents who are willing to just, you know, to pull you up and to help you do better. Being able to have that, and the church could be a network, you know, other community organizations, and oftentimes the schools. I've been to a lot of the D.C. schools, and they have parenting empowerment groups and parenting classes and things like that where there are resources and there are those connections to help us do this parenting thing.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Do you have questions about how you can be a better parent? Maybe some of the things that you've done to prevent yourself, even when you're in that moment, from putting your hands on your child or using certain language with your child, because as our guests have said, even a language can be abusive. Our guest tonight in studio is Michelle Booth Cole. She's the executive director of Safe Shores, the D.C. Children's Advocacy Center. And Satai Ross Streeter, she's a psychologist, a clinical psychologist, and executive director of Ascension's Psychological Services. 202-319-7810 is the phone line. Let's go back to the lines, or go to the lines for the first time now. Tanya calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Tanya.
One of the things that I would say, I have spanked my kids in the past as far as when they're behind, but I have just got creative with different ways of disciplining them. But one of the things that, you know, help my kids to understand is if you do not do anything that causes negative consequences, then therefore we don't have to, whether it be punishment or whatever we take from you, don't have to happen. One of the things I don't believe in, I do not curse at my kids. I do not raise my voice or yell at my kids because I think that's counterproductive. Because when you start yelling, I know with me, I'm going to shut you out. They'll do the same thing. And so I just feel as though it's important for parents this day and age to develop a relationship with their kids and to respect their kids. Yes, my kids have to respect me, but as a parent, I need to respect them as far as because they are people, too. They are persons.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Tanya. She makes some very interesting points. Number one, she uses respect. But then she also said something I thought was interesting. She says, now, as long as you don't do anything that will cause me to react. So I'm hearing two things in a way, right? Respect your child. But yet she's saying, as long as the child doesn't do anything to cause the parent to react in a negative way. How do you take that? I'm hearing sort of both ends there.
So I love Tanya's comments. I love the fact that she talked about respect. And I love the fact that she admitted that, you know, there have been times that she had used spanking, but she has, you know, evolved from that. And one thing that's important is to remember, we have to have, you know, children need consequences. The question becomes, what type of consequence? So does the consequence have to be something that's physical, that's going to break them? Because again, when we think about what spanking is, and when we think about what beating and whooping is, even if we look back into slavery, that was used on us to break us, to break our spirit. So we wouldn't talk back, so we would be submissive. And do we really want submissive kids in 2018? We don't. But consequences, there are logical consequences where children are going to learn from what's happened, they're absolutely necessary. But we also have to keep in mind, children being children, they're going to do stuff. They're going to get into trouble. They're going to, you know, they're figuring out life. You know, I have a 7 and 8 year old. They have only been here 7 years, 8 years. So for me to expect for them to perform the same way I would or think things out and think logically all the time, it's just not going to happen.
And I think that's probably one of the hardest parts as a parent. I think all three of us are parents, is sort of to remember that you're the older person who's been around for a while, and the child is still sort of trying to process how to think things out. So I think that's a great point. Michelle, you wanted to add that something?
Well, I really like what this mom said about she got creative, right? And so that means she has an intention to do something different. Like, this is what we're talking about as adults, is forming a different intention about how we want to rear our children. Now, on the issue of they're going to do something, well, then that means if I know as an adult, I need to know what my triggers are. What are the things that you do that just take me to that place? And I know me as a mom, there is mommy time out. Yes, there is. I will put myself in a room or in a bathroom if I need those minutes or two just to collect myself, right? So one, it's knowing my triggers. Two, I think we don't do this enough. You got to have expectations that are appropriate for that child's age. I see people in stores yelling, cursing, yanking on two-year-olds. Two-year-olds are not supposed to sit still. They're not supposed to stand still. By nature and developmentally appropriate, it's about exploration. It's about movement. So we can't expect our children to do things at an age when they're not equipped to do that. And then, again, you have to apply consequences to misconduct that kids understand, right? So if they're doing something that's putting them in danger, move them out of the danger, redirect their activity, right? And as they get older, again, the logical consequences kick in. And then the things they do that drive you crazy, sometimes you just have to ignore them. The whining, the complaining, the negotiation, the tantrums. I mean, sometimes it means it's the adult. You have to exercise that control, count to three, take some deep breaths, and know that they're going to do behaviors that get on your last good nerve, and you just can't give in to it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stacey, we're really dropping a lot of knowledge there. You go into a room as a parent. I think that is so important. Oftentimes, we may not take the time out. And we can talk about time mm-hmm. out for kids. But to your point, maybe parents need a time out.
Deep breath.
And I think That's we right. all can attest to seeing things in grocery stores and out in public of how little children are dealt with parents. So I want us to talk about also the difference between boys and girls, and do we handle them differently, and how we should handle them, and is there a one size fits all from that perspective? Renee, Lorraine, and Stacy, stay right there. We are going to get to you. We've got to bump over to the other side. That's the Sirius XM side, but this conversation will continue. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us for this conversation. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, our conversation centers on child abuse prevention and healthy parenting. This is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Obviously, this is something we could be talking about every day, just not in one month, but this is the month that we really zero in on it. And we'd like to hear from you, your questions, your comments, your concerns. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 319-7810. Our guest tonight in studio is Dr. Satira Streeter. She's a clinical psychologist and executive director of the Ascension's Psychological Services, and Michelle Booth Cole, executive director of Safe Shores, the D.C. Children's Advocacy Center. Dr. Streeter, before we bumped over to the SiriusXM side, I had asked about boys and girls and how parents have to deal with them, especially when you have issues of contention. Should you have a different approach in terms of gender, age, all of the above? But let's start with gender. Do you have to handle boys and girls differently?
I think you have to, well, I know you have to handle children differently. It depends on the child. So it's not so much whether it's a boy or a girl. It's really knowing your child and knowing what they respond to. In physical discipline, and it's not discipline because discipline actually means to teach, but physical punishment is not appropriate because of what it does to children. But what we've seen in research is the impact on boys and girls are different, but they're very is very detrimental mm-hmm. at the end of the day. So we just have to individualize our discipline style for our children and what works for them, and how we can really get them to think about their actions and really help them, give them the consequences that will hit the message home.
Michelle, do you find that parents tend to talk to their boys differently than their girls, or vice versa?
Yeah, well, I think that's part of how we're socialized as adults. I've read signs that say parents love their boys and rear their daughters. Hmm. And I, Satira and I are sitting here. She has boys. I have daughters. But my thing is, you're right. Every child has a different style. They have a different language. So to make those sweeping generalizations sometimes isn't fair. But if we know that as a general place, boys can be very physical, very active. So maybe your response has to be very practical in terms of redirecting whatever they're doing. If they're about to jump off something, you may have to move them off that something so they don't jump off, or put them in a safe space on a playground where they can jump and move. Mm. Whereas girls, what is our, girls tend to, we tend and befriend, mm-hmm. right? We're always, we're into people's emotions, even little, mm-hmm. right? And so sometimes maybe you use that. So-and-so is going to feel really bad if you keep doing that, right? So again, use the things that you know generally may appeal to a particular gender, but also, one, you got to pay attention. You got to know your child, what's going to work with your child. And the thing we haven't remembered, we're trying to stop kids from doing stuff. The other thing, we got to reward the good behavior. Mm. When we see them doing things that we want them to do, we should be all over that moment, right? So they know that feeling. They're feeling that love when they're like, ooh, I like the way that felt when mm-hmm. mommy and daddy saw me acknowledge. They saw me do something that I was doing and they liked it. So again, let's reinforce the good things that our kids are doing.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Some excellent advice coming from our experts tonight. We'd like to hear from you. Let's go back to the phone line. Stacy calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Stacy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
good. So this is like the perfect topic at the perfect time.
Okay.
I have a 2-year-old, and she is very, very defiant. And it's crazy because I'm an educator. So I know, you know, the do's, the don'ts, and what to expect. But I just feel like a new mom all over again. I'm 30 years old. I have a 10-year-old, and she's the complete opposite of my 10-year-old. But she's just very defiant, and I'm trying to cope with it. She actually is like, she's one of those kids that comes to school and is like, oh, God, she's here today. And I don't want her to be that child. You know, she's on the radar for behavioral specialist. She actually sees a behavioral specialist for her behavior. And I don't know what to do. It's like I'm driving, and she doesn't get her way. She puts her shoes off. She throws them at me. She throws things at me. She curses. I don't know what to do. I'm so frustrated.
Okay, Stacy, let's see if maybe you can get some help here. Anyone want to sort of jump in on that?
I know,
that
we're
one?
Both looking at each other. I'm looking at the psychologist over here.
So one thing, and I'm sorry that you're going through that, Mom, because it's hard because you have these kids and they're cute and, you know, you want them to do the right thing. And it seems like, you know, what are you doing? You're coming from the opposite side of the globe. But it really is important to use those available resources. So whether those are the resources in school, whether that's, you know, continuing to have the conversations and to be able to say, well, what, you know, this is not nice. And you're not, you know, being nice to mommy. You're not being nice to your friends. Help me understand what you need. Like, and really, and I know she's so young, but it sounds like she's quite verbal. So really getting her to understand that and to see if the issue is she angry about something? Is there some type of possible trauma that she's gone through, or has she, you know, what is she seeing at school that's being modeled? What's going on in terms of her little life? Because again, kids have little lives that they're going through things and they're thinking about things, and she's really trying to figure it out. And of course, she's using a manner to do so that's driving you up a wall. But just knowing that, you know, using the resources, and when it comes to, you know, it may be a need to have family therapy and to actually have a conversation and see, you know, where this is coming on from so that it can be stopped.
And I think sometimes our kids kind of require us to be a little bit of detectives, right? I mean, this is what Dr. Streeter's talking about. So I guess my question is, in those moments when she's not acting like that, what's going on? When she is calm, what's going on in those moments? I hope there's some of those moments for you, Mom, at least a few during the day, but like just to try to observe. And part of me thinks about what the first caller said in terms of relationship. Our children want relationship with us. Often sometimes they're doing these things to get our attention. They figure out how they're going to get it. Maybe it's not the best way to get it, but they still get the attention. So, you know, I think part of it, I play that forensic detective a little bit and look at, okay, so in these moments when we are calm, and she, is it when I'm sitting on the floor playing with her? Mm-hmm. Is it when I'm looking her in her eye, talking to her? Now, granted, you can't do that all the time. You got to drive places, you got to cook, you got to do things, but to figure out if there are those moments, and then how do you capitalize on those moments? So maybe you're saying, once we get here, mommy can sit down and talk to you. Once we do this, I can do this with you. But part of it is trying to figure out, if it's not all the time, what does it look like when it's not like that, and what's happening?
Thank you so much, Stacy, for your call, and good luck with your challenges, but I'm sure you love your little child, and we hope everything will turn out okay. 202,
okay.
Thank you. 202-319-7810 is the phone line, and they are open. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Renee calling from Alexandria. Go right ahead, Renee.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
You're
I had a comment I wanted to make about how the comment earlier was said that, oh, shoot, it slipped my mind. I've been on hold for so long.
Oh,
I'm sorry. But I just want to say that I am one of those who, my parents, they spanked me, they whooped me, and I ended up, when I became a mom, I did the same thing. I passed it off to my kid, and it worked, and then in some cases it didn't work. But I think it's a very thin line when you ask the parents to, you know, to basically almost look inside themselves and say and see, like, you know, the spanking and the whoopings is not the answer. It's more of, you know, basically, you know, getting inside yourself and understanding the situation.
So it's you're saying, so Renee, are you saying sometimes it's too much in the moment to be able to sort of be that introspective when you're trying to sort of diffuse something in that moment? Would that be right?
Yeah, I would say so, because when you say moment, I'm just factoring in everything, like the stressful lives that we live, being the residuals from having the coming from whoopings and spankings and however, if you want to say physical abuse that happened to yourself, to whomever, it's so much. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I experienced it. And my children are, they have a nice little gap between them. They're over 11 years apart. But when I had that first child, I was basically a child with a child. Hmm. So as far as handing down or doing the things that was done to me, to my oldest, I did that because that was all what I knew.
Okay, let our guests sort of jump in on that, Renee. I think she hits something very interesting, Dr. Streeter. She says, I was young. What did I know? Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about you know what you know, but especially if you're a young parent, that has to be doubly difficult.
Right. And I appreciate Renee's comments on that. One thing that I see oftentimes, I've been a psychologist for the last 17 years, and parents almost, you know, often end up parenting on autopilot, where, you know, they're just doing and they take in what has been done to them and they just continue on, and they really don't have a chance in a moment, because life does move so fast, to be able to think about what it is they're doing and to be able to be intentional about their parenting, because things keep happening and they have to pay the bills and they have to go to work and all of these things. But it's so important to take time out and do a plan. Oftentimes in the therapy room, I ask parents, you know, what is your plan for your child? And I don't want them to say, oh, I want my child to be a nurse by the time she's 23 or whatever. But in terms of what do you want for your child, for her as an adult? And those are those things like, I want her to have healthy relationships. I want her to be able to take care of herself. I want her to know love. I want her to show love, those type of things. And once you have a plan for your parenting, then you're able to order your steps in that way. And you're able to make decisions and be intentional. So every day you're able to say, okay, is this something that's pushing my child towards what I really want for her, or is this something that's taking her away? So, and then being intentional has to be also, again, thinking about your trauma and thinking about what you've gone through and being intentional about what you do want to pull forward from your childhood and the things that you don't want to pull forward.
You wanted to add anything
to
that?
Yeah, I guess what I'm hearing too is that, you know, you can't do it alone. I mean, I think Dr. Streeter said this before, and it really is a challenge in the world we live in, because sometimes it feels like the village just isn't there. So part of it is having to be proactive in creating your village. And sometimes if you're having that moment, maybe you have three or four friends that you keep on speed dial, like, this child's taking me there. I just need you to talk me through this in this moment. I need to know I can call you and you're going to pull me back from the edge as a parent. We can't do it alone. But the other thing is, the research shows the hitting doesn't work. I mean, that's the other thing we need to recognize. It's just not ultimately effective. It may cure something in the very short term,
in the moment,
but it also is breaking your relationship with your child. I don't like people who hit me, and I'm grown. So I'm definitely, if I'm little and I'm looking up and you're supposed to love me and take care of me, that's not a behavior I want to see.
So those who say, and I throw this out for both of you, those who say, well, listen, you know, I was whipped when I was little. I was spanked when I was little. I turned out all right. I've got a nice career. I've got a nice home. I'm doing all right. Are they glossing over really something that might be there that they don't want to acknowledge?
I think the danger in that is that, yes, there are some people who have not been as impacted as the spankings and the whoopings and the hitting that they've received. But there are some people who have been severely impacted. There's research studies that show that children that are whooped may end up having more substance abuse problems, more attention problems, make poor decisions, have mental health issues. So at the end of the day, again, when we look at our children, a lot of times we know what we want them to become and we know how they respond right now, but we don't know what the long-term impact is going to be from us whooping our child now to get a momentary satisfaction of them stopping the behavior or whatever. So because we don't know if your child can be as resilient as you believe you are, then why would we even want to chance that? To whoop them or to beat them and hope that they don't internalize it and they don't become angry and they don't end up hating you or all the other impacts that we know comes with corporal punishment.
This month is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and that is our focus tonight, as well as healthy parenting. Lorraine or Loren, you will correct me when we get back to you. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. You will be next. We're going to take a quick time out, and we're going to continue this conversation. The phone lines are still open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bride in for Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about preventing child abuse and also healthy parenting, some of the aspects, some of the things that can make us better parents to our children, to our nieces, to our nephews, if you are serving as a parent for those, and how best to sort of approach your child, not only of not being physical, but the words we may use, because that can also be abusive. So that's our focus tonight. Our guests tonight are Dr. Satira Streeter. She's a clinical psychologist and executive director of Ascension Psychological Services, and Michelle Booth Cole, executive director of Safe Shores, the DC Children's Advocacy Center. Now, we should tell you that this weekend, on Saturday, there will be a DC Parenting Empowerment Conference. It will be at the DC Prep Anacostia site, 1409 V Street Southeast. Free homestyle breakfast, lunch will be served, free and new gentle use children's clothing, free children's activities for preschool through fifth grade, giveaways, all the stuff you need. You can register by visiting eventbrite.com and searching Parenting Empowerment Conference. We want to make sure we tell you that now before we run out of time. The operative word for many of you is free, but it's also some good stuff. Dr. Streeter, one of the things that will be addressed on Saturday will be one of the topics, child safety in the digital age. I think all parents, we should be. Oh, you know what? I'm going to get to that question, but I promised Lorraine, and pronounce that for me when we get to you, calling from D.C. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, it's Lorraine.
Lorraine, okay. Thank you for being so patient, Lorraine.
Thank you. I was calling, and I wanted to say no disrespect to your guests, but I believe there are some times and situations or instances where spanking is necessary. I'm talking about examples when the child is in harm's way, example, touching the stove. Are we going to wait till they get burned, you know, so they can learn that lesson rather than pulling them away from the stove and possibly spanking their hand, because we know they're going to be curious about it no matter how many times you tell them do not touch the stove, that they're going to do it. So I think that it's better for them to get a little sting on their hands from me spanking them than for them to get burned or scalded. Another thing I was thinking about was that I have a good friend who believed in spanking. Her son now is 26 years old, and he is a very respectful and wonderful and clear-thinking young man. Now, she had told me about a situation one time. She was in a store, and he was misbehaving, and she had pulled him to the side, and she may have spanked him, and security came over. And she looked at the security with the gun on his hip, and she said to him, I'm doing this now at age 6, so you will not have to use that gun on him at age 16. And I'm just thinking about the reflecting on, in light of what's happening with police brutality, et cetera, you know, how do we, you know, I guess balance those things, because...
Okay, let the guests sort of jump in on that. So that she has some old school, you know, maybe we would say some old school thoughts on saying, hey, listen, what we talked about earlier. Sometimes you don't have a whole lot of time to sort of discuss, don't touch the stove. And if I sort of smack those fingers, you know, oh, cause and effect. If I get my finger smacked, I won't touch the stove.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think those are are very interesting points. One thing that we have to remember is, number one, we have to make sure that our homes are childproofed in a way that our children don't have the opportunity to touch the stove or, you know, get that close to the stove, or that we're supervising them in the right way. In those moments, is it necessary to pull them away out of danger? Absolutely. You know, I can think of several instances where it may be it's necessary, especially with young children, to keep them from danger in the first place or to pull them away. But does that have to necessarily follow up with a hit or a smack? Do we really think that's the thing that gets the message in? And another interesting point is that oftentimes we talk about, we give, you know, examples of children that were beat and they turned out okay. But one thing that I would push back with is the beating most likely was not the thing that made the child turn out okay. So this child, this young man who's 26 and very respectful, there were a lot of other things that his mother put into place to make him the wonderful young man that he's in. So we have to be careful about giving credit to the beating of doing it, because it sounds like he turned out well despite the spankings and the beatings.
Very good point, Dr. Streeter. Before we went to Lorene, I was talking about the D.C. Parenting Empowerment Conference on Saturday, and I asked about the child safety in the digital age. Michelle, that is a biggie, right? That is a biggie. Either you or Dr. Streeter can take that. That is a biggie in trying to protect children from whatever is out there that we have to figure out. How do we do it? How do we do that? I throw that out there for either one to jump in.
Yeah, I don't think there's any easy answer other than staying engaged with your child and really having those conversations all the time, conversations that shouldn't start when they're teenagers. I mean, the relationship with your child starts. I remember my oldest, who's now a freshman finishing up her freshman year of college. I used to strap her on when she was 3 months old, and we'd go for long walks, and I'd just talk to her and talk to her. And it made her, one, an early talker, an early crawler, an early walker, right? But also, those relationships still continue. She literally called me yesterday because she was feeling some kind of way about an exam she didn't do as well as you wanted on, and we're still talking. So I think with the internet, one, they are going to be smarter than we are. They are digital natives, let's be very clear. So it's very hard to stay ahead of your kids. What you can do is be knowledgeable, but also you got to be talking to them about what they're watching, what they're listening to, why they're listening to those things, right? And to the extent when they're younger, if you can avoid, don't give them to technology just because all their friends have it when they're eight. They don't have to have a phone. They don't have to have those things. So part of it means we as parents need to link arms and hold the line against all those demands that we see kind of conceded around us.
Right. And one thing, one of the reasons that this conference on Saturday is so important is because we're going to be able to share that information. The person who's coming to talk about digital safety, Reginald Corbett, he's an expert on the internet and child safety on the internet. And he started a company called Safe Cyber. And one thing that we know when we look at the statistics of DC and care, a lot of our children are being cared not just by parents and parents that are in their 20s that have come up in this age. We have a lot of children being raised by grandparents who, when they were raising their first set of children, you know, the internet wasn't even a thing. So we want parents and grandparents and guardians to come out so they can learn about, you know, what are the things to look out for? What are the apps? How do they limit technology use? How do they not be fooled and thinking that every time your child is on the computer, they're studying?
Right.
They're writing,
because these young kids know how to pull up YouTube, and unless you have a block, there's all kinds of things that are on there. If they have an iPod or a pad, who knows what they're looking at. In our last couple of minutes, I mentioned really at the top of the show, unfortunately, it's not anything new out there, sexual predators and trying to protect children. We just, you know, had a story yesterday out in Prince William County. A daycare worker has been charged with a sexual battery against five-year-old little girls. And so in terms of Saturday, what can we do to help parents sort of protect their children from predators that we may not even know are out there?
Well, here's the thing. We do know they're out there, right? And often we know that the majority of children are preyed upon sexually by people that they know and their parents know. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the first steps, is we have to be aware of who's around our children, who we're leaving our children with, and we have to provide proper supervision and make sure we're asking all the right questions and doing all those checks and making sure that no adult feels like they have unfettered, unrestricted access to our child for any extended period of time where they're not accountable to another adult. So we're going to talk about those things on Saturday. And I would say for every parent, I'd always encourage them certainly come on Saturday. And our organization, Safe Shores, does regular trainings free to the community on preventing child sexual abuse. I just left one tonight. We had a group of individuals in there asking hard questions and supporting each other. Again, this piece of learning in community. We cannot do this alone as adults. Our next training is going to be May 23rd. But again, go to our website, safeshores.org, look for Stewards of Children, and you can register and come out and learn about how to protect kids from child sexual abuse, how to prevent it, how to recognize it, how to respond appropriately to it. Heaven forbid it should happen.
Dr. Streeter, one of the topics that you will also be dealing with and that I think parents have to deal with all the time, and Michelle sort of brought it up a little earlier when she said finding her quiet place. And the topic here is self-care. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So self-care means knowing that, yes, you're a mother or you're a grandmother or you're a father, but in order to do what you need to do with your child, you have to make sure that you're full yourself first. You're able to, whether it's getting the rest that you need, whether it's getting the food, whether it's getting the therapy, you know, all those things that we have to do for ourselves have to be done in order for us to give to our children. It's almost, you know, it's like what they say on the airplane, you have to put your own mask on first, and then you're able to help someone else. So we have a nurse, Nurse Meady, Dr. Jamila, who is a OBGYN, and Dr. Janice, who is a psychologist. And the three of them are partnering together to bring this wonderful self-care presentation on Saturday.
And we shouldn't, as parents, Michelle, feel guilty about that, of taking care of ourselves, taking some time for ourselves, finding our little space and closing the door.
Not only not feel guilty, that's actually essential. And you're role modeling to your children about how to take care of themselves. We want them eating right. We want them moving physically and staying healthy that way. And we want them to have the emotional bandwidth to deal with the challenges life is going to throw at them. So self-care is essential to being a whole, healthy, strong, positive adult.
Let's tell the folks out there again the event that's going to be taking place, if you don't mind, Dr. Right. Streeter.
So the DC Parenting Empowerment Conference, being presented by the Nation's Capital Mothers Group, is taking place on Saturday, April 28th, from 8:30 to 1:30. So it's a full, it's a half a day conference. There'll be breakout sessions that parents can choose between, and they can register by visiting Eventbrite and looking up Parenting Empowerment Conference on Eventbrite, and it's free.
It is free, folks. Be there. Michelle Booth Cole, I think you will be there.
I will be there.
Executive Director of Safe Shores, the D.C. Children's Advocacy Center, and Dr. Satira Streeter. Did I get that right, Dr.
Yes,
Streeter?
Yes.
I know she will be there. I've been sort of practicing and working on that the whole time in my head. She's a clinical psychologist and executive director of Ascension Psychological Services. We thank both of you for being in tonight.
Thank you. Great conversation.
Again, it is National Children's Abuse Prevention Month. Be aware. Be aware. DC Parenting Empowerment Conference this Saturday. Be there, 1409 B Street Southeast, 8:30 to 1:30 p.m. We thank you. That's the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. For this Tuesday, April 24th, I'm Bramante Bryant, and for Harold Fisher, have a great night.
WHUR World 96.3.